I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun.
What's up, San Diego? On this Thursday afternoon, we welcome you into another edition of Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. That Braves team that some thought would never see the light of day again has risen.
Wow.
In a major, major way.
Say that one more time?
When you said some thought they would never rise again.
No one in particular.
Oh, you weren't referring to anybody in particular?
No.
I believe I heard someone say that they would never take a lead in the series again.
Pretty sure somebody said that.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
Vaguely remember that. The Braves, Eddie Rosario is probably a nightmare in every Dodger pitcher's sleep right now.
He's like the National League version of Kike Hernandez right now.
I was thinking the same thing.
He's on fire.
He's
right
doing
now.
Everything right now against lefties, against righties. It doesn't matter. The Braves on the brink.
Familiar spot, though.
Yeah, this is, it's deja vu, right? I mean, I think last year they got off to a 2-0 lead. Dodgers won game 4. Braves win game 5. And then the Dodgers didn't lose another game in that series. So,
yeah,
is there? Let's just get right into it, Chris. Is there some pressure tonight on the Atlanta Braves to get this done right now? Because remember last year, if I'm not mistaken, there was no real home field advantage here.
No,
right?
All the games were in Arlington.
Yeah. So, is there some pressure for the Braves to end this tonight?
I feel like there should be. I mean, if you're the Braves, I mean, why should you go in there and just phone this game in, right? I mean, you got to take every chance you can possibly get to eliminate the Dodgers. You don't want to go back, bring them back to Atlanta with you. Why do that?
No.
You know, I mean, I remember Michael Jordan and many others who have been asked in the past about wrapping up a series on the road, and especially his first championship, which came in L.A.
Unfortunately.
But, right. And they said, well, would you rather go back to Chicago? And he's like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, you win a championship, you take it the
Wherever
minute you can get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm the Braves, I think that you have to put a certain amount of pressure on yourself to go out and perform well tonight and try to wrap it up. Look, the Braves have their best pitcher going tonight, right? Max Fried. So, you know, they want to back him up and they don't want to, you know, waste his performance tonight, whatever that might be. And you've got the Dodgers teetering right now. I mean, Justin Turner is out and
he's not coming back this season.
And he's not coming back. And to me, he's always been the heart and soul of the Dodgers, as far as I'm concerned. Max Muncy's going to be out and they're not coming back in this series. But my point is, the Dodgers right now are teetering, and you've got to knock them off while you can. And, you know, the Braves, I think, you know, should have learned the lesson last year. They had a lead in Game 5 and a chance to wrap up the series, and Will Smith hit the home run off of Will Smith, and that turned that whole series around. So I do think there's some pressure on the Braves to try and wrap it up tonight. And, you know, I look at it this way, Tony. This is the fourth time that you and I have come on the air this postseason talking about the potential of the Dodgers season ending.
Well, how many times
that
is this now?
Night? This is the fourth.
Fourth,
because this is the fourth time they faced elimination already this postseason. I mean, obviously they faced elimination in the first game against the Cardinals,
right?
And then they faced it twice against the Giants, and they were down 2-1, had to win games 3 and 4. So they've already won 3 games facing elimination this year, and they won 3 games against the Braves facing elimination last year. So they're, you know, I think they're comfortable in their skin. They'll go out and, you know, for the Dodgers, hopefully get some hits at the top of the lineup. I mean, 0 for 17 for the first five guys in their batting order last night. That's hard to believe that Betts, Seager, Turner, Will Smith, and then Justin Turner, those five guys could go 0 for 17. Meanwhile, the Braves' first five guys in the lineup last night, 8 runs, 6 hits, and 6 RBIs, and 4 home runs. So, I mean, that's killing, as you said, and that's a big difference. So, you know, some people are starting to blame Dave Roberts now, and I you can't blame Dave Roberts, first of all, for any decisions that are made, especially the decision to put Urias in relief in Game 2, because Dave Roberts himself said what we all kind of knew, and that it was an organizational decision. He's got people in the front office, if not telling him what to do, certainly highly suggesting what he do. And they all decided that bringing Urias in Game 2 is a great idea, and it didn't work, and he lost that game. And did it have an effect on him last night?
Maybe, maybe not. Right.
Maybe, maybe not. But I think to blame everything that's happening on Dave Roberts or blame everything that's happening on the Dodgers is taking away from what the Braves are accomplishing.
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
Eddie Rosario is having a magnificent series here. Why does it every, you know, whether it's the Dodgers or the Padres or the Dolphins or the Bills or the Lakers, why does it every time somebody loses, you have to look at why did they lose? Sometimes the other team give them a little credit for winning the game. And the Braves had some great at-bats last night. They hit 3 early home runs. Duvall is having a great series. He took away a home run in the ball game. You know, the other day, Freeman is swinging the bat well in this series. Albies hasn't even really cranked up, but it's a very good Braves team. They're playing well. Give them some credit. They had 7 pitchers last night? They all got the job done.
We said that going into this playoffs, that this is a Braves team that is a very deep offensive team. And you think about it, it feels like there's been somebody different stepping up in every one of the games that they've won.
Right.
Whether it was Jock Peterson, you've had Austin Riley come through. You've had Albies with a bag that puts them in a position. You have Rosario, who's done his thing. Duvall, as you mentioned, playing some pretty good defensive center field, along with bringing his bat to the. There's just a lot of things that they're doing well. They're playing the better baseball right now.
There's
just no getting around that. And on the Dodgers side, every time that they've had success, there's usually a few names involved, right? Betts is usually involved. Bellinger's been involved this whole time. Turner has not had the best playoff run so far. They're going to need him if they're going to win these next three games.
You're talking about Trey Turner.
Trey Turner, right.
He's been ice cold.
He's struggled in this playoff tournament, in these playoff games.
Yeah.
But they're going to need him down. If they're going to win these next three games, he's certainly going to have to play.
I think
a role.
He'd be a good guy to keep an eye on tonight, as far as Dodgers can turn things around.
Well,
yeah.
Will Smith has been kind of quiet
a little
in this
quieter
series
in
as well.
This series,
so you know, this is the in these situations, the team, the guys with the big dogs that play like big dogs usually win.
Yeah.
This is how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a lot more fun out there to blame this all on the choking aspect of things and how the Dodgers are blowing it and, you know, how they're the best team out there.
I think that's fun.
On paper, it's more fun.
Yeah, I think
but,
it's fun.
But
sure.
In reality, what I see happening in this series, the Braves are playing better baseball. And the other thing is the weakness of the Braves, save for the Cody Bellinger home run, hasn't shown up.
It's been one of their
bullpen's been unbelievable. Last night, after Smiley, who was a surprise to pitch as well as he did, but look at what happened after he left the game. Chris Martin, A.J. Minter, Tyler Matzik, and then finally their closer, Will Smith. But those four guys combined last night for 4 2/3 innings, allowed 2 hits and no walks.
Flip that.
As long as those guys are doing that, Atlanta's going to win because they're going to score some runs.
Flip that on its head. The strength, you would say, for the Dodgers is their starting pitching. And that hasn't been nearly as good as we've seen it all season long.
No, Buehler gave up some runs. Urias last night gave up 3 home runs, but only the second time in his career.
Absolutely. And granted, now, listen, it's hard to. There's going to be decisions made when you win a world title that are make or break decisions that go your way. That's no different than what's happened this year for the Dodgers. Only those decisions haven't gone their way. The idea was a perfect idea and worked out to their advantage last year in the postseason, bringing in starters out of the bullpen and having them start on those days.
And it worked in the first round when Scherzer closed out the Giants. Don't forget about that.
Right.
They wouldn't even be here if Dave Roberts didn't make that decision to use a starting pitcher in the ninth inning.
Right.
So all of a sudden now he's stupid because he tried the same thing with Urias.
Right. And now in this series it hasn't worked. And their weaknesses on the Braves side have become their strengths. On the opposite side, their strengths have become some of their weaknesses now. So
It's still time for it all to turn around, because I'll guarantee you one thing, Tony. Nobody remembers the first four games of the series last year when the Braves were ahead 3-1. I don't remember what the Braves must have a whole bunch of stuff just like this last year to build a 3-1 lead. And, you know, look, the Dodgers don't have to worry about their starter not being effective tonight, because they don't have a starter tonight.
No.
Joe Kelly's going to pitch the first inning, but it's going to be a bullpen effort. And, I think you asked a really good question, because everyone's going to look at the pressure being squarely on the Dodgers to avoid elimination. The Braves can't go in there tight. Obviously, they can play relaxed, but I think they've got to put some pressure on themselves to try to close out this Dodger team while they are teetering on the brink of elimination. You got a chance to do it. You don't want to take them back to Atlanta with you. So
ideally,
get them out of there while you can. If you're Atlanta, I think this is an important game for Atlanta. But it's a must win for the Dodgers. That goes without saying. But I think it's important for Atlanta. They'd be silly to just walk in there tonight and go, well, let's just, we'll cough this game up, and we can beat them anytime we want, so we'll just go back to Atlanta and to take care of business there. It's a nice fallback position, but that's what you have to use it as.
On the other side, the Astros have all of a sudden come back from the dead. Mind you, on the road. They didn't do this back at home in Houston. They did this in Boston, and now they find themselves one game away from being in a World Series. And they got as good of a performance in what could have been the biggest time for their ball club in Framber Valdez and the way he threw the baseball yesterday.
Yeah.
It really kind of resets their bullpen, right? That has struggled. They now get basically two off days because they're off today. The bullpen pretty much got a day off yesterday by him going eight innings. And now it resets their rotation and their bullpen at this point. Big start from Framber Valdez.
Yeah, eight innings. I mean, that's humongous. He's the first pitcher this postseason to go eight innings. And, Scraby wants us to talk about whether or not the Astros are cheating again, and I don't blame
him. Some Boston fans are trying to pull that card right now.
Because that's what Scraby loves, anything that could possibly be a conspiracy theory.
I didn't even mention this once to you guys.
You didn't mention it. It's flat right here in huge letters on my rundown of the show.
If I want you guys to hit on something, I'll mention it before the show, but
this is
the first thing you said. Braves beat the Dodgers, and are the Astros cheating again? It's in big capital letters right on my sheet, so don't tell me you don't want us to talk about it. I say the Braves don't lead again in the series.
I wish you
not only do they not
win,
I'm so glad you kept that. I'm so glad you kept
that,
because if the Dodgers end up winning the series, then you're going to have to throw that away. But here's my point. The New York Post and Boston sports radio stations are floating ideas that the Astros are cheating. Some fans say they heard whistles being blown before certain pitches last night or the other night in the last two games. Evidently, those whistles were not working the first eight innings of game four the Astros were behind 2-1, and the people deciding to blow them and cheat only showed up in the top of the ninth inning with two outs, and then seven runs came in. Then last night they showed up for a 9-run performance. I'm getting a little tired of it. The Astros should have to this hanging over their franchise head, and I think it always will hang over their head. But because they won a couple of games at Fenway Park, I don't think anybody blowing any whistles has anything to do with the fact the Red Sox, all of a sudden, after scoring, 30 runs combined in the first three games, have scored three combined in the last two games. So, I really can't get into this particular conspiracy at this point that now they're cheating on the road. If the Astros are even attempting to cheat after everything that went down and what is already attached to the names of Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, they got to have some major chutzpah to go, let's just go ahead and find another way to cheat. I can't buy into it. I really can't.
Yeah, no. I
not on this one.
I don't know that anybody's really buying into it other than some sour Red Sox fans right
probably
now.
Probably so, mean, yeah. If it makes you feel better, Red Sox fans, go for it.
This series is certainly not over.
No.
And that's the interesting thing about both of these teams.
Because those same fans that were in Boston may not be able to come back to Houston
right.
and bring their whistles with them for Game 6 and Game 7.
They may not be able to do that. But on a serious note, this team, we've seen both of these offenses get really hot and also get really cold.
Sure.
And it seems like right now the pendulum has swung to the Astros and their offense. Who's to say that when they get back home, it all of a sudden disappears again? And the Red Sox, who looked like gangbusters in Houston the first time we saw them, all of a sudden are back to swinging the bats well again.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. This series, I expect both of these series to go seven. Although it may not look like either goes seven right now, I still think it's a high possibility that they both end up going seven.
Did I mention that I feel like the Braves will never lead again going into Game 5 now? I'm going to try it again.
Double down.
Did it work last night? Did Atlanta win? It worked perfectly last
night. Series.
Wow. Not only do they not win a game, I don't think they even get a lead the rest of the series. maybe you don't know, but I know when I was saying that yesterday, I was saying it all along praying that the Braves knock the Dodgers off, because I don't want the Dodgers to win the series, and I'm glad that my doubting in the Braves last night paid off. We'll see if they can do it one more time tonight.
Thanks a lot, idiot.
That's not a lie. Be quiet. Who's that?
Thanks a lot, idiot.
Oh, thanks a lot. I thought it said that's Kelly.
Oh.
I thought she was no. That was Kelly Danick yesterday. Thanks a lot, idiot.
Apparently
I thought you were saying that's a lie, idiot.
Well,
that's what
it.
I heard.
Apparently, I got a tweet today saying that Kelly Danick is much nicer in the morning.
She's
nice all the time.
She was at her wits' end last night.
In the morning.
Thanks a lot, idiot.
She wasn't pleased with somebody out on the road yesterday.
Let's
for sure.
get to break. When we come back, we've heard Chris talk about cold calls like back in the day. Well, apparently, they're happening once again with the Raiders. We'll speak when we come back. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's a look at traffic.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, football coming your way tonight on 97.3 The Fan. It'll be the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos Thursday night football. After our show, lots of football coming up on the program. Scott Hansen from the NFL Network will join us today. Always good having him on, one of our favorites. He'll be on about 20 minutes from now, actually. We'll also get our weekly NFL picks coming up at about 4:20 this afternoon. In and around that, Chris versus the fans, and also the Big Five. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby, all together in our Odyssey Palace studios as we roll along here on a Thursday. Dodgers and Braves will get started around 5 o'clock today with game number 5 of the NL Championship Series, the American League Championship Series. They're on a travel day going back to Houston for Game 6 with the Astros ahead 3-2. All right, so you're up to date on pretty much everything, except we don't know whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. is going to play in the game tonight. And all of us are stressing out because we all have him on fantasy rosters, and I'm sure many of you out there do too.
No, I don't have him.
Oh, you don't have him on one of your
rosters. It's just you guys that are stressing today.
I'm a little – I'd hate to point – to post a Blutarski to open the week.
You don't need a Blutarski.
Yeah. Does everybody know what a Blutarski is?
Very eclectic vocabulary.
Do you know what a Blutarski is?
I think it's a zero.
It's a 0.0. Blutarski was the John Belushi character in Animal House, and the dean of the college looked at him and said, "Mr. Blutarski." And he was reading off grade point averages for the troubled fraternity members.
He
said, "Mr. Blutarski,
0.0.
And the look on John Belushi's face was as comic genius as you can possibly conjure up.
Well, he was that of a comic genius.
He was. He was amazing. And rest in peace to the great comedian John Belushi. So, I mean, if you start a guy and then he, you know,
doesn't play
at all, that's
just
the worst feeling in the world. So for any fantasy owner, and everybody's wondering, we know that Baker Mayfield's not going to play. We know that Nick Chubb's not going to play. And we know that Kareem Hunt's not going to play. We do know that Jarvis Landry is going to play.
He has been activated
for the Browns. So a little hope.
Was it a knee for Jarvis?
I don't remember what that was. He missed the last four games. I know that. I know that Denver started 3-0 when they played the worst three teams in football. And now they're 3-3. So, they went with Teddy Bridgewater. And it all worked out really nice at the beginning of the season. But now Denver's getting beaten up pretty good here the last few weeks. So should be an interesting football game tonight, kicking off week number 7 of the NFL. We'll talk more about that and everything NFL with Scott Hansen coming up at 3:40, as I mentioned. Tony touched on this story going to break. Andrea Kramer, is she still with
Real Sports?
Oh, she's not with, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
I believe so.
She recently profiled Raiders owner Mark Davis for that show. And apparently, one of the producers of that show cold called John Gruden.
Explain to our listeners what a cold call is.
It's just basically calling unannounced and hoping that the person picks up the phone and then asking them a bunch of questions. And people, we used to do it on radio all the time.
Right, landlines.
You would call a hotel and you'd go, "Give me the." Give me the room number of Baker Mayfield, and they would ring the room, and then he'd answer, and somebody would go, "Hey, Baker, it's Chris Ello from the Gwynn and Chris show. You have a few minutes to chat? We're on the air." Then Baker Mayfield would be like, "What?" You know, like, I mean, if he says no.
How many dial tones did you guys get back?
You got a few dial tones, but, I mean, it always kind of made the other person look, bad in those days for whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't think we had the same.
I wish I could have those days.
Yeah, you could just call people,
now they have like 7 layers of security.
Right. It's almost impossible to get through to somebody and ask them to be on the show, or at least text them beforehand and say, "Hey, I was planning to call you. Is it all right?" But yeah, back in those days. And my most famous cold call that I ever made was when I was working for the newspaper in L.A. Not that you guys asked, but this is an interesting story, I think. And the Lakers were looking to replace Pat Riley as their coach. And, you know, that's not fair, because this story has nothing to do with, I mean, everything
you're
that I
back in time.
Everything I talk about happened in the past. I mean, what I did 20 minutes ago happened in the past. Right?
He is just being devious today.
Yeah, he's being mean. So they're looking to replace Pat Riley as coach. It's a Sunday night, and
Pat's already left for Miami?
Pat retired at the time.
Oh,
it was
right,
before he went to the Knicks. As Scraby just played way back when. And the rumor was that Mike Dunleavy was going to become the next head coach, but nobody knew for sure. Dunleavy had been an assistant with Milwaukee at that time. And I had the NBA hotel book, where all the teams stayed on the road. And the Milwaukee Bucks, when
those things were gold back in the day.
They were golden. And I had one of those. And I looked it up where the Milwaukee Bucks stayed in the L.A. area when they played the Lakers. I thought if Mike Dunleavy really were in Los Angeles being interviewed, he would probably stay at a familiar hotel.
Right.
So I just actually my wife talked me into it because I didn't want to do it. She's like, "Oh, you got to call him. You got to try it." And I said no. And she said, "Okay, I'll call." So she got on the phone, the hotel answered, and she said, "Mike Dunleavy's room, please." And it was ringing. And Lori goes, "It's ringing." So then I grabbed the phone, and he answered. And it was like, hello? And I said, yeah, Mr. Dunleavy? And, yeah, probably don't really feel like talking to me. I'm Chris Ello with the Pasadena Star News, but any comment on the fact that you potentially could become the next coach of the Lakers? Oh, my. Well, you know, one of those things. And I'm not really supposed to be talking to you right now. How'd you get the he couldn't say how'd you get the number.
Right,
but
anyway,
I said, would you like to comment on the fact that, you know, why you're in Los Angeles right now? No, I really better not. So I wrote a story that Mike Dunleavy was in L.A. and, you know, getting
that's
most
a good
likely,
story, though.
It was great. And 2 days later, he got hired as coach of the Lakers. And at the press conference that he got hired, he sought me out, or I sought him out, and he said, he goes, you know, when you called the other night, I had just walked in the door, and I was walking over to the phone to call downstairs and tell them, you know, to silence my phone so nobody could ring up here. And phone call came through, and I picked it up because I was so stunned that the phone was ringing. It was just that brief sliver of time.
Wow.
I give Lori all the credit because Lori was the one who dialed the number because there's no way I would have done. I was too wimpy. Yeah. But that's a cold call right there. But you can't really pull that off anymore.
No, because people have cell phones now.
Yeah.
It's harder to get those numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the story of the cold call.
I would never answer my hotel room phone.
And now you can see who's calling you. That's right.
It would have popped up.
Yeah.
A guy you don't want to talk to would have popped up on the phone. So, yeah, I would have never gotten a hold of Mike Dunleavy.
I don't know anybody with a 213 area code. So I'm just
right.
Gonna,
yeah, I'm going to hang up this one. So, yeah, that was a cold call. But that's apparently what one of the producers did, getting a hold of John Gruden for the story that Andrea Kramer did. And anyway, John Gruden, here's a quote from John Gruden, if you're interested. He said, people who know me know what I stand for 58 years. I have a resume of 58 years. And he added, the truth will come out. That part of it, I kind of wonder what that necessarily means.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what do you mean the truth will come out?
You know what this is tied to, so there could be a number of different avenues that this goes.
The fact that it's a little deeper than just John Gruden, I can buy that.
Yeah,
so
maybe so.
All right, when we come back, we'll continue the NFL talk. Our favorite from the NFL Network, he hosts the Red Zone channel on Sundays. It is my favorite show on television. Scott Hansen will be our guest when the Gwen and Chris show resumes on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
Join Coach John Quintero tonight and every Thursday night at Draft at Belmont Park to watch Thursday night football. Enjoy over 70 beers on tap along with San Diego's greatest game day grub. Again, that's Coach Quintero at Draft in Coach's Corner from 5 to 7 every Thursday. Details at DraftSanDiego.com. Let's check traffic. An hour and a half, from now, game, was it? 5 of Dodgers Braves tonight. The lineups are in with Justin Turner out of the lineup. That now slides Mr. Chris Taylor to the third base position, moving Pollock into the outfield along with Betts and Bellinger, and Albert Pujols getting a start at first base. And they are probably facing the Atlanta Braves' best starter in postseason play thus far, Max Fried. Padres saw him here at the end of the season. He was lights out.
They saw him. They didn't see the ball.
He was lights out.
Yeah. Shut him out, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that's what the Dodgers have in front of them if they want to extend this series.
Yeah. And, you know, the Braves really like the left-handed pitcher. I mean, you could tell last night, right? Every reliever that they went to in that ball game was left-handed except for Chris Martin. So, they got 7 1/3 innings worth of outs last night from their left-handed relievers, and that's the way the Braves feel is best to try and attack the Dodgers lineup. It does get Pujols in. It takes Gavin Lux out, which will save us from having to look at all those forlorn shots of Gavin Lux every time a fly ball falls into center field somewhere. There was one last night that landed about, I don't know, 50 yards in front of him that Julio Urias put his arms up as if to say, why didn't you catch that?
Yeah.
And I really don't know that Gavin Lux had any chance to get that ball. Maybe if he would have read it perfectly and come sprinting in, it would have been an unbelievable play.
I think
you're a center fielder. That's not as easy as Julio Urias thought it was.
I think that was wishful thinking for Julio, who was having a rough outing out there.
Would you think it would be funny, because somebody tweeted this today, would you think it would be kind of funny as a center fielder if you saw a home run sail over your head and you turned around and faced the pitcher and put your palms up in the air? Like, what? You gave up that? I don't think that'd go over too well, right?
You should expect some type of physical activity once you reach the dugout when that inning is over.
If you did something like that, but
absolutely.
Julio Urias did that to his center fielder. And it's like, it was like the play the other day. It went for a double, but it was off of Gavin Lux's glove. And, of course, the Dodgers are being criticized unmercifully right now for playing an infielder in center field.
At the end of the day, that is what happens in this type of baseball. Everything is magnified. So,
sure.
I'm not saying that Gavin Lux is at fault here, but I'm saying emotions are going to run high, and you can't take it personal in these situations. And, on the other side of it, you would hope that Julio Urias, realized that, hey, man, he might have been a little out of pocket putting his hands up and may have mentioned it. We don't know. But we do have our guest, though, who is now joining us on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline.
My favorite television personality.
Indeed. Scott Hansen joins us of the NFL Network, host of NFL Red Zone. And, Scott, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming on today.
Tony and Chris, good to be with you guys on Sports Equinox Day.
Indeed.
I love it.
Indeed. You can follow Scott at Scott Hansen on Twitter. And Scott, I'm wondering now, you've been hosting this show for quite some time. Is there any new wrinkle this year on Red Zone?
Well, we're like, I kind of talked to our crew about it this way, is we're not trying to reinvent everything. We think we've got a pretty good system down of how we service the audience that demands to see every great moment as it happens. But we're more like maybe a professional golfer who already is on the PGA Tour, already, like, let's say, top 20 in the money and whatnot. But you're still trying to shave one stroke every tournament off, which could be the difference between holding up the trophy at the end of the tournament or being, 19th in the money in that given day.
Yeah.
So there's like little tiny things that we're doing here and there. And one material difference that I'll mention that I'm not extremely happy about, but it's something that we're required to do this year, is the new broadcast deals were signed. And sometimes at the end of the show, we might be required to send, if there's only one game going, and it actually happened this last week with the Cowboys and the Patriots going to overtime, they require us to sign off of NFL Red Zone and send everyone over to the national game over on the broadcast network, whether it be CBS or Fox. In this last week's case, it was Dallas and the Patriots was the only game going. We had already finished up the afternoon window, but we were ready to show overtime between the Cowboys and Patriots.
Yeah.
And we got the phone call to say, hey, guys, send everyone to CBS. Tell everyone to flip over. And I'm like, okay. I'm a soldier. I have to take my orders in March.
Right.
And although I don't like it, because if you guys know me and if you've been watching NFL Red Zone for a while, there is no one in the country who wants to show people more football on television than I do.
Right.
And yet I got to do what the rules say. So we ended up doing that this week. And hopefully most people were understandable about it and understanding and flipped over to CBS to see that walk-off touchdown.
Scott Hansen from the NFL Red Zone, absolutely locked into that every Sunday, my favorite show on TV. I'm not just kidding about that. Scott, is there you've worked with this crew for a while, and it does seem like you guys are so in tune. How do you personally handle it when you see a big play happen, maybe even late in a game in the early morning window, but you guys are showing something else and maybe something else is coming up? How do you get the message to your producer, oh my goodness, we've got to show that? Or do you ever have to do that because your producer is able to read your mind?
Oh, yeah. No. Well, you can't read my mind, although we do have like almost unspoken communication, and we have a like maybe like a quarterback wide receiver, we have a rapport with each other where it's like, okay, yeah, I thought you were going to break this way. Yep, you broke this way. Okay, I'm gonna hit you with the pass this way. To be honest, my microphone is always hot, always live, always on to the control room. You guys can't always hear my microphone at home, but it's always hot to the control room.
Okay.
And we'll just yell some guys. We'll be on a game. We'll be on a game, and it'll be whatever. Okay, this team's on the 24-yard line. They're about to get in the red zone. So, and it's the game that's the team that's closest to the red zone right now. Okay, we're watching whatever, the Falcons or something like that. And I might literally, you know, burst in and say, you know, Rodgers to Devontae Adams, 80-yard pass. Let's go. We got to get to Green Bay. They're first and goal from the 3-yard line. And I'll literally do it like that. And he's like, okay, stand by. We're going to go to Green Bay. We're going to finish this play here in Atlanta, go to Green Bay, and then we'll rewind the Devontae Adams catch. Because obviously we want to show you everything in the red zone. That's what we try and promise you. But
whatever,
a huge 50-yard pass, we can't anticipate that.
Right.
And, of course, the snap started in their own territory. But – yeah, it gets wild and woolly behind the scenes. I think there are a couple of videos that are on YouTube right now of like little documentary crews and whatnot that we've allowed through the years to come in and kind of see the behind the scenes working of NFL Red Zone.
That would be fun.
It's kind of frenetic. It's kind of frenetic, but man, it's fun. It's fun. And I hope the viewing pleasure of it is as much as we have in broadcasting it.
It definitely is, Scott. That's one of my favorite features about Red Zone, is when there is that 50-yard play or 80-yard play before they get into the red zone, you never miss it. You always get a replay of it, which kind of puts you, kind of catches you up. But you mentioned shaving strokes and really having this thing buttoned up. Now, with the emergence, and not just in NFL, really across the board, sports gambling and betting is becoming a real live thing. Is that something that's going to infiltrate Red Zone at some point?
I would certainly think so.
Yeah.
I would certainly think so. In fact, I was on some Zooms and some phone calls and email chains and whatnot, all discussing this leading up to the season. I think we, NFL Red Zone, are going into this new world. I think NFL media is heading into this new world, and the NFL is as well as the sports fans. Now, the dynamics that are in play here are this. It's not legal in all 50 states yet.
Right.
And the NFL is starting to put its arms around it, but I think until and unless it's legalized in a majority of the states or all of the states, we probably will be slow to embrace or be overt about it. For instance, gotcha. I'm still not going to talk about, hey, you know, the Chargers were a 13-point favorite in this game, so if they score a touchdown here, they're going to cover. You're not going to hear that out of me, not this week and probably not this month and maybe not this season.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if that gets greenlit next year or the year after that.
Yeah,
yeah. Because, I mean, honestly, Scott, as you think about it, and, you know, we've been watching the telecast this year. I mean, on the networks, they put stuff up all the time. And I'm thinking if you're late in the morning window and there's a tight game between the Dolphins and the Patriots, and we're all watching that because we want to see who's actually going to win the game. But what if Arizona's 16 points ahead of Tennessee and they're favored by 17 and Tennessee's drive? You know what I mean? I mean, that to a lot of the viewers is actually very important, that last drive, even though it doesn't mean anything to the outcome of the game.
Yeah, or the 35-7 game where it's an absolute steamrolling by the team that's leading, and yet the over-under was 44, let's say, and somebody kicks a quote-unquote meaningless field goal or is about to attempt one. How do you handle those type of things? Yeah. And like I said, right now we are not going to be – we have discussed it in and amongst ourselves and our bosses right now, and it's dictated to me that they don't want me overtly talking about it. However, we are wide-eyed, and the more that it comes into play on the business side of things, i.e. the more that people are making money on this, the more that it will be embraced and the more that it will be talked about, even on NFL Red Zone. You know, for myself, from my standpoint, I hope that we're smart and responsible about it, because gambling, like anything else, is a two-edged sword. Okay, whatever, alcohol is legal in the United States. Didn't always used to be legal in the United States, but it's legal now. And you know what? Someone can enjoy a couple of drinks and it has no problem with it. Other people, they can't enjoy it responsibly. And gambling, you know, you listen to psychologists and people that have, you know, just have experience in life. Gambling can be the same thing. Someone might want to put $20 on a game and it doesn't impact at all. Other people can't control it that way. So I hope that we're very deliberate, smart, thoughtful as we go into this, and as this becomes more of the broadcasting vernacular on NFL Red Zone and all of our shows on NFL Media.
Scott Hansen, host of NFL Red Zone, joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Scott, we've had that same conversation. We hope that really, as all the sports get into it, that there's some responsibility on their end. But we've been watching you do this show for quite some time, and I wonder to myself, you know, having done some games of my own, I know I'm pretty exhausted after a nine inning 4 hour Padre game. after your 7 hours of work, I would imagine you're pretty spent.
He goes home and watches Sunday Night Football. Are you kidding?
Oh, you know I do. That's how I decompress. I decompress by only watching one slow commercial filled 3+ hour national TV game. It's just like, it's a day at the beach when I come home to watch Sunday Night Football. Yeah. No, it is true, though. I come home and grab some food, grab some drink, maybe use the men's room as well. Yeah. And then, turn on NBC, watch Sunday Night Football. And I might flip open social media, go through my mentions, see what fans were saying about NFL Red Zone that day. But yeah, no, it's crazy. Actually, Tony, the last time I was on the show here, I believe you and I talked about when COVID had flipped everything upside down broadcast booths weren't even a part of it. I think you and I talked about, you know, you had to watch games on TV, right? You were broadcasting.
Yes, he was.
You thought, wow, that's how Hansen does it in the studio, because I'm not in front of a live, there's no live field in front of me. There are no live players. I'm just staring at 9 pieces of glass saying, okay, well, you know, we got this game going on. It's something that you get used to after a while. And I'm sure your audience right now that's listening to me can tell that, you know, I'm a pretty high energy guy. So thankfully I can keep the stamina up for all 7 hours. And the truth is, I love my job, but I love serving our audience. You know, I if I wasn't an NFL broadcaster, I would be an NFL fan, right? A pure fan. And I would want someone in my seat as the host of NFL Red Zone. I would want that person to treat me the way that I want to treat other people. And that is, give them everything you got. Have energy and enthusiasm. Be smart. Be sharp. Be informative. Be fun. And don't lose your steam in the 5th hour or 6th hour, even if you get physically tired doing the show. Yeah. And hopefully that comes across.
Consider it done, Scott. It does come across. We absolutely love the job you do. We got a couple of minutes left. As a fan of an East Coast team living here on the West Coast, that being the downtrodden Dolphins right now, so many times they wind up in the morning window with 9 other games. And I always wish for them to be in the afternoon window with only 2 other games, because then obviously on Red Zone I'll get to see a whole lot more of the game. Is there any conversation at the league level of evening it out to maybe 6 morning games, 6 afternoon games, rather than 9 to 3 a lot of times?
I am sure there has been discussion, but unfortunately, bad news for you, I don't see it changing anytime soon, because, and you know this as a broadcaster, they want at least 1 or 2 kind of quote-unquote Tiffany matchups in that late window, a la what we had last week, you know, Cowboys-Patriots, 2 of the biggest brand names in professional sports, going head-to-head so they could deliver a massive audience to either CBS or Fox, the early and late afternoon window partners. And so, therefore, I think you're always going to see that imbalance, a top-heavy 1 o'clock Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific early window with 3, 4, maybe 5 games occasionally in the late window. And then, unfortunately, you know, Christopher, this one is you're going to get some 6:30 a.m. London Dolphin games occasionally as well. So I know you had to be sick about the way your Sunday started, this last week.
It was. I was, but I turned you on, and I felt a lot better right away until my fantasy team started to lose. But, you know, I gave it my best shot.
I got nothing to do with that.
No, you didn't.
I got nothing to do with that.
No, you didn't.
Scott, we as always, man, we really appreciate you coming on, spending some time, man. We enjoy catching up, and continued success. Continue doing the great job you do.
I appreciate it. Thursday night football getting underway here soon, guys. Broncos at the Cleveland Browns over on NFL Network.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Hansen there from the NFL Network, host of NFL Red Zone on the Premier Chevrolet Fan, Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.